thank you for tuning in to the Let's Unpack That podcast. I am your host, Lyle Behrens. Thank you very much for joining us. Today, we will be unpacking cheating, and not pandemic cheating, because I don't want to get into all that. That's a whole bag of nasty that I know nothing about. But pre-COVID times cheating. I know we're in the house and we're thinking about all the lives that we lived pre-COVID. This is a great thing to unpack. This is part one. Part two with Joe Prano from the Dirty Sports Podcast will be uploaded on Monday. Enjoy part one. Have yourselves a great weekend. Please subscribe to Let's Unpack That on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Enjoy your weekend. Be well. So let's start this off with a story, a nice cheating story. I love a good cheating story. Well, actually, before I get into that, I'm going to say why I was drawn to cheating outside of the fact like I had a dick and I was 22, 23, is the girl I was with was older and she like made me feel like shit. She made like, you know, fucking fucked up offhand remarks. She would say things like, you know, yeah, I taught you how to fuck. And I mean, she was not the first girl I fucked or the second girl I fucked, but she did teach me, you know, how to eat pussy and certain things like that. But she would like rub it in my face and she would say things like here's an example of shit. And she didn't like love herself either, but like here's an example of some shit. We would just be like watching TV and like a, you know, like a really attractive woman, especially one that looked like they would be my type, would be on screen. And she would say some shit like, what, you like that? You like that? You know, girls be like, oh, you like that? Is that what you like? And then she'd be like, you think she doesn't want to be with some broke black comic? And I would just look at her like, bitch, you dissing yourself right now too. And then she said, and then she caught herself and she was like, because I want to be with you. I want you. Right? Like, that's the type of shit you would do. Also, here's the thing, fellas. If you have a girl that says, like, oh, you like that? You like that? You don't stay away from them. What you want is a girl when, like, it's a sexy woman on a TV show in a movie, and she says, ooh, I like her. Do you like her? I like that. Do you like that? That's the type of woman you want to be with. They are fun. You can do a lot of stuff with them. And you can avoid cheating, you know? That's free game. Anyways, so I hate when people say basic shit and then say free jewelry. It's like, nigga, we all know that. So anyways, that was the context. And the girl was like a three-quarter Mexican, quarter white girl from the central coast of California, just for context. And I was 22 when we met and she was 28. So there was like the age dynamic. There was fucked up offhand remarks. Like, so anyways, me being like the young guy, but still wanting approval, I stayed with her and because she was like my type. Fast forward, I was flirting with the idea of cheating a lot. Like I would do shit like, all right, I'm going to download Tinder. And this is like 2013 when Tinder was like still new and girls was like really about it on there. So I downloaded Tinder and I was like, okay. And then like I went on a date with a girl and like November and it didn't, like she was like, man, you should come over. And then I was like, oh, do I really want to? Do I want to risk it all? Like, it was, and you know, just having like these young, because like when I was 22, no 22 year old knows how the pussy game works. You know, I mean, he knows how to fuck like maybe women at his school, but he don't know how the pussy game really work. So I talked myself out of it and I'm like, no, I don't need to come over. You know, because especially because she was like going like, yeah, I want you to come over, but I don't want to fuck you so soon, but I do. And I'm like, you know, I'm not dealing with that. Fast forward to about February or March, I think March 2014. I'm doing a weekend in Santa Barbara. Now, it is a Friday. We just got done with two shows. We're downtown on State Street in Santa Barbara. Me and the promoter walking up, you know, just like it's like a slow Friday bar hopping. And we run into these girls that saw him, their UCSB students, dance majors at that. And they saw him performing. They saw him perform. at the school, and they're like, "Oh my god, oh my god, Lifeology, oh my god, oh my god," and they're freaking out over him. I'm like, "Do y'all see me?" But at the same time, like, I've been doing comedy for like 4 years at that, 3-4 years at that point, so it's like, all right, what, I know how the game goes, I'm used to it. So they drilling over him, and I just kind of felt like, shit, this nigga didn't even try to alley-oop me. So, but that's also like a cultural thing. Like, white, I don't know, man, like, white boys don't like hook like the homies up, like in the way that like a brother or Latino will. Anyways, so that shit's happening. Fast forward to the next to the early show Saturday, and the way the gig, and we had on the lineup, it was me hosting. We had Jimmy O Yang before he got the Silicon Valley. We had Steve Wilson, and we had Clayton Thomas. Fire lineup, if you know who those guys are. Steve Wilson, he was like, he co-hosted the radio show with DL Hughley, and Clayton English is one of them, you know, one of them like little viral comedy niggas. And the reason the show was like that, because Jimmy wasn't like Jimmy yet. He was like known for like acting in some roles, but he wasn't like, you know, what he is now, where he could like sell out like some clubs. So anyways, having said that, so the way it was booked is they went and did the college gig, and then they finished up the late show at the comedy club, and he needed somebody to fill in for Steve and Jimmy, and I hosted, and then Clayton closed out. Also, what was really weird is Clayton, he was like, I went up to him, and I was like, "Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?" And he was like, "What's up?" And he's like, first thing he asked me was, "What ethnicity are you?" I'm like, "Nigga, you trying to fuck?" Like, I mean, I didn't say that, but I was just like, I was like, "I'm black, man. I know what the fuck you mean, and fuck you." Like, them niggas, like especially like them LA niggas, they'd be like, "Okay, if you're not like them niggas that do that kind of like urban, suburban black comedy, right? Where it's like they're not quite niggas humping the stool, but it's like they'll flirt with humping the stool, but they, so it's like, if it's like, all right, if you're not like a super ghetto-y nigga, like you must be, so I'm like, fuck that. Anyways, good comic though. So everybody crushed that show. I came up, it's funny, I'm getting all that, and it's like, "Lyle, we don't want to hear about your comedy gripes, we want to hear about the bitches." My apologies. So anyway, so I opened up hosting, fire. Then I bring Steve up, fire. Then I'm pretty sure Jimmy did a set, and if he did, fire. And then a few of the guest comics, the local comics, they weren't so good, but it's like they were able to like look good by just doing 5 minutes. And then Clayton comes up, fire. So then blah, blah, blah. Steve and Jimmy get back, and we do the late show, good times, have drinks, blah, 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 blah. And it was the final show of the run, which was like Wednesday or Thursday. No, yeah, it was Wednesday to Saturday. So fast forward, in the club, run into those same girls. "Oh my God, yeah, Lyle, you're Lyle Barons. They was on you, boy. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's like that any nigga that like killed and had that sorted. Well, no, not any nigga. I'm gonna give myself some credit. But what I'm saying is the energy was right. So we're drinking, having the time. I drank a lot that night. And boy, were those girls very friendly in the club that night. Fast forward, you know, skipping some like drunken on the streets, trying to hail a cab. Some taxi cabs tonight. It was me, the rest of the dance team girls, and we were like trying to have like a hotel after party, because two of the girls had already met like some little cocaine friendly Persian dudes from LA, and then they're like, no guests in the hotel, and the girls went up to use the bathroom. So then we go to the girls' dorm. We take a $75 cab over there, which at that time was a lot of money. It was like, well, it was a lot of money for it to be to pay for some other people. It's like, were you to like 22, 23 doing like hosting middle spots just to get away and for reps? You're like, damn, this, nigga, I'm only making like $400, it's $300 this weekend. So anyways, that shit got worked out in the dorm, right? And everybody's out kind of like socializing, drinking. And I'm like, I'm about to cheat on my bitch. Let's go, nigga. I didn't take my time. That was a mistake. I drank a lot. Those other guys were, they had obviously been in the pussy game longer. Like if we had some broadcasters to narrate, it'd be like, oh, the rookie is just ready to go straight in. So anyways, so we go in the room, undress, blah, 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 foreplay, because let's also remember, she did teach me how to fuck by that point. So, we're doing like the foreplay and all that stuff. And, I don't want to get too graphic, but, base it, and then like it was like time to have sex. And then time to have sex. And then the girl whose name I still did not know, she opens the door and yells, Jenna, jar. What? Jenna, fucking jar. What? Jenna, fucking drawer. And then boom, like 30 condoms just come flying at us. Like we're like a high school fucking with a hand out the shit, whatever. Like just fucking thrown at us like airborne. All these like condoms. And like it was obviously like the free condoms that like you get on campus. And them shits is like too tight on your dick. They do not feel good. So that happens. Put the condom on. Whiskey dick. I was like, is the tip in? The tip isn't really in. Did I cheat yet? Did I cheat yet? My goodness. Then what happens? This is so fucking funny. So then after like trying a bunch of times, the girl, she gets up, goes to the bathroom, and then yeah. And I'm like, all right, I figured like it was a few throw ups, but like nobody, I was like, oh wait, I think she's faking her throw up, so I leave. Like that like didn't enter my mind until like 3 minutes into the gagging. I picture somebody listening like, no, she was sucking another dude's dick, Lyle, because you couldn't perform. I gotta stop dissing myself in my own head, man. That's just unhealthy, but it's fucking funny. So I go out and I'm like, or no, her friend came in when I'm like naked in bed. And she's like, hey, and she was like, just kind of look at her like, well, you're the one I really kind of want. Oh my God, dude. It was like this half black, half white chick ass like crazy. I felt it that night too, because we was having fun in that club, nigga. Anyway, she was like the one I really wanted, but she was like up with, and I could tell she was like kind of down for a little rotation, but that's not the point. Anyway, she's like, yeah, she's in the bathroom. She's like kind of sick. I'm like, oh, should I wait? Should I? And then I'm just kind of like, and then the sober dude to me said, like, nigga, you cannot fuck right now. Leave this place ASAP. So I don't, I think I called a friend, I think. Yeah, it was the homie Gary Hughes. Shout out Gary Hughes, who I started doing comedy with in the Bay. Like we started the same year, and like we'd roll together to open mics, and like he wasn't booked on, like I would be booked on showcases, and he'd come with me, be like, come on, you gonna kill this, bro. You gonna kill this. Great guy. And then Gary was living in Santa Clarita at the time with his mom. And Gary finds me, he picks me up, and then he's like, man, now what the hell is he doing messing with these bitches out here, man? You ain't got no business being up in these dorms, nigga. You got blah 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 blah. And he's basically giving me like the Lil Rel at the end of Get Out. Like that was him, right? So, and then I was staying because this one dude who was like a fan of the Comedy Hideaway shows in Santa Barbara. I'm staying with him in this gated community because he's like, yeah, man, next time you're in town, man, just stay with me. Just stay with me. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Cool. I'll bunk with you. Because he had a guest room. So I was like, good, works enough for me. And he is he was a fucking weirdo. He was like an asshole. But like that was when you're younger, you're just kind of like, I'll fucking hang out with anybody. Anyways, get to the gated community spot. And I am trying to, I can't remember the password. It was like written on something. Anyway, so we're trying to like ring the place. I can't remember where it's at. So then I'm trying to walk on top of his car. That didn't work. And then he hoists me over the gate, like the brick wall, roll over, get there, walk inside the condo, fucking drunk and fall asleep on the air mattress. The next morning, it's my girlfriend. And I don't know if she had like one of them women intuition things, but her attitude was fucking amazing. She's like, "Hey, Lyle, I missed you. How are you? It's such a beautiful morning. I went to the beach and I saw Sia." Like, she was so fucking, it was like, what the fuck did I do last night? And I felt so, so, so fucking guilty that I did not close and fuck that girl. I was like, damn, I made myself not look like a man by drinking too much and then whiskey dick and the guilt. Like, you got a woman at home, brother. My goodness. So then I get to LA because I was splitting my time between LA and the Bay Area at that time, as well as the Central Coast, because that's where she lived. So I was living like three different fucking lives. So get to LA. Illa, who was on the social media episode, Illa picks me up at the Amtrak station, and we're rolling to go do something. Oh yeah, I just spotted a Laugh Factory that night. No wonder, like, I felt fucking invisible during them times. So I was doing the guest at Chocolate Sundays, and then Clayton asked me if I was a nigga again. I'm kidding. So then, I said to Illa, I was like, "Hey man, like when you was cheating on blah blah blah, when you was cheating on your ex, did you feel guilty?" And I told him the whole story, and he fucking laughed his ass off. And he's like, "That is the shit." And he high-fived me, and he's like, "That's how the fuck you do it." And I was like, "I thought I failed." See, that's the type of big homies you need. You need the big homies that, like, make your fucking, what you think is a L, be like, "No, nigga, that's a story, nigga." Da, 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 da. So I said to Illa, I was like, "Yo, man, like, when you was doing, like, did you feel bad?" And he was like, "I did. But I was like, you know what? This is just what the fuck I'm doing. Like a light, like a light, like a light." That shit changed. I was like, "Yeah, but this is what I'm doing. This is just what I'm doing." I fucking loved that. I fucking loved it, man. And I ran with it. So then I call up the young lady from earlier. I'm at the venue of the show that I run, and I'm like drinking. I was drinking again. So I'm drinking like Bullet. But it wasn't like a sad feeling. It was like a, ooh, I kind of want to get active. I want to do something. It was like that good feeling. I was listening to some happy Drake. I was listening to some happy Weekend. I was feeling good. So I texted her something like, "What time am I coming over?" like something you can only text when you're 22 and don't think anything bad will ever happen in life to you again. I texted her something like, "What's your address?" She sends it. Called an Uber. And she had a fly-ass guest house. Like, she had a handle of Bullet. It was like little Christmas lights inside. Like, this was, and she was like 19 but had a fake ID. And at that moment, I was like, no wonder I ain't getting no pussy as a teenager. These girls are living 4 years above our age. Like, I didn't start fucking 19-year-olds until I was 22, and I didn't start fucking 22-year-olds until I was 27. You need that other side of the game. I'm obviously exaggerating when I say that, because obviously, like, I did here and there, but it was like, oh, like, you can... This shit's a lot easier when you're like an older guy, and not like in a weird kind of creepy way, just like they're just kind of more drawn to somebody that's a little bit older. And I see why. Like, if I was a heterosexual 19 or 22 year old girl, I would not want to fuck guys my own age either. Anyways, but so then I'm there. And I don't want to get too graphic into this because I do like have respect for that girl and all that. But all I'm gonna say is, like, she was like she was bent over, right? And it was like time for me to put my dick in. And I was like, do I do it? It's still hard. I don't know if I feel any guilt. Once I'm here, there's no going back. It was like I was like a kid in like one of them like inner city 90s like little nigga sad black boy movies. It was like, just pull the trigger, Jamal. Just do it. Do that, nigga. It's like, fuck that white bitch with your dick, Jamal. Fuck a Jamal. And I was like, oh shit, this feels good. And then I never turned back. And I was like, yep, this is a shout out to DJ Illinois. This is what I'm doing. And then it was like really easy to be encouraged. Cause keep in mind, this is like 2013 when like Tinder was still popping. Like 2013, 24. No, this is 2014, but 2013, 2014, Tinder was dope. Girls was fucking on there. Like the way that it was like Grindr for heterosexuals with like a formality meeting. Like just link up for drinks, show that you're not gonna have a seizure, and you could fuck. It was the shit. And plus, like the music encouraged it, the homies encouraged it, the big homies encouraged it. So once I had my mind on that like that was something I was doing. I was looking for my girlfriend to say fucked up shit. Like, yeah, baby, say some shit that's gonna hurt me, so I got a reason to go. I can feel less bad about fucking some bitches. Like, I was using that as motivation. If that ain't the definition of a toxic relationship, I don't know what is. But that was something, like, cheating is something that, like, it was easy for me to do at the time, but I don't have the same relationship with the concept of it or the action of it I do now as a 30-year-old man. In a relationship, or probably even if I was single, I don't have the same relationship with it. Cheating is different now. Because, like, the way I look at cheating is it's a young man's game and it's a powerful man's game. And it's of convenience when you're older. But for me, where I'm sitting, it doesn't make sense for where I am and where a lot of my friends are. Even if I wasn't with the woman I was with, I would be saying this. I really would. Like, it's a young man's game where it's like, okay, you got time. I mean, like, at that time, I was like, and I was bound to crash and burn, but it's like, okay, I'm going from LA, the Bay, and then the Central Coast. So, like, I'm essentially like living in these three different places from time to time. And, like, just the extreme of that my lives would go. It's like, okay, I'm in LA, just at these comedy clubs, just like really trying to get past somewhere, trying to get noticed, and not really knowing what I'm doing. And then I'm in the Bay Area and like running shows, making my money, and then doing like little road gigs. I'm going to Arizona, I'm going to Nevada, I'm going to Seattle, I'm going to Oregon, and then if I'm not working, I'm in like the Central Coast for 2 weeks. Just in this like small, slow ass, farm town, just going out to dinner, being with these boring people. And it's like I was living extremely different lives. And that eventually is bound to catch up with you. And I'm not saying, I mean, like, it's not even about if it was wrong from a moral place. It was like that's something that you can do when you're a young guy. That's something you could do when you're 22, 23. But then eventually, like by the time I was 24, like, I don't get it twisted. I was still, when I was like 22, 23, I was still doing it. When I was 24, I was still doing it. But I was like, I'm kind of tired. I kind of want to chill now. You know what I mean? And it's like, and then eventually, like, as you get older, that's why it's a young man's game. Then it's a powerful man's game. In the sense that you can do it. And when I say power, I mean when you were of money, when you were of status. I don't even just mean fame. I just mean when it's like You have that aura. You're and you're bad. You got your Ness, your Lyle Ness, your Jeff Ness, whatever it is. You're in your bag. So it's easy to do from like a money and power position, right? Or like convenience. Like I got friends where it's like they just kind of, they got like their little suburban lives, and they're like, yeah, man, it was this girl. They're like, yeah, I kind of know her through some friends or whatever, kind of from back in the day. And she just, yeah, we hook up every now and then. But it's like, it ain't gonna break up my marriage or whatever. And I've seen it play, and like, hey, it kind of fizzled out. Them types of situations. And I know about them from men and women that have told me about shit like that. And I'm like, okay. That's of convenience. Now I'm not gonna say I'd never like, oh, I'd never cheat again. Because I'm like you wouldn't believe me. Especially like you'd walk me through a scenario and be like, let's say Rihanna or whoever, let's say what you're gonna be like, what you ain't gonna fuck that bitch? My response is let's talk about somebody that would actually fuck me. Let's not talk about Rihanna. Here's my thing, man, with cheating at like 30 or 34, when you're more career driven or you're more in a building a life foundation, like when you're thinking more about that and you're having serious conversations about money with your girl, about like investments, portfolios, retirement funds, where you want to live, how many times you want to travel a year. Cheating isn't the conversation that you should be having. The conversation that you should be having is, hey, you should be having a conversation about how would you feel about bringing somebody in the relationship? How would you feel if we kind of did our own thing from time to time? I feel the need. I think that's more the conversation to have. But also, like with men and cheating, men don't be like, oh, I plan on this. It's just kind of like, oh, this is there. I mean, some men do. Like, you do have like just some like McNasties that are just like, oh, I just like, them niggas where like you just kind of they can't be left in a room with a bitch. And not even like they're rapey or anything like that. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, but because I'm not the woman that would have to deal with that. But I'm saying where they really can't, they just kind of can't chill. Or them guys where it's like, because I ain't gonna lie, I obviously made an album and a podcast talking mostly about women and sex and relations, but it's not just limited, like, oh, look at this girl, look at this girl. Like, I got other interests. My thing is just like when you're career driven, you're building a life, you're talking about money, like it feels stupid. And I think it's like if you're gonna cheat, you should ask yourself, what are you cheating for? Like when you're cheating to spite somebody or because you haven't fucked enough or fucked enough hot women or the type of women you want to fuck, because they're like, oh, I haven't had a thick one, I haven't had like a skinny one, whatever, that's more clear. And it's not about if it's right or wrong. It's about what's more clear for you. Even when you explain why you did it, it's better when it makes sense. Even as shitty as it would be to hear that the other way around, to get cheated on and be like, well, I need to know what else was out there. I wasn't, well, you just made me feel like shit, so I felt like I just had to do it. It's better when you do it from a clear perspective, a clear head. Here's the one I think should kind of always get a pass with men. The one that I feel like should always get a pass when it comes to cheating is, okay, I see why you did that. Okay, I don't blame you. I see why you did that. I see why you did that. Because again, it's like to bring it back to be like, well, Lyle, if Rihanna walked in the room again, Rihanna's not gonna fuck me. Rihanna's not gonna fuck you. But let's take it to like there's some of them girls. It's like when you play pickup basketball and there's like a guy on the court. And you just gotta give it up to that nigga. Pause. And it's like he's just cause he, like it's a pickup game. Like and most guys, I mean, pre-pandemic, cause like we're all Like none of us are like prepared to play a basketball game right now. But he's running, he can jump high, he's got handles, and you could tell like he got serious. At the very least, he was a starter and got serious minutes on a high school team that meant something, you know? Because you got like a lot of white boys that like, you know, will come to the gym and just fucking ball hog it up. And it's like, okay, you played on your high school team in a town that didn't mean shit. But I mean, like a guy that played like in a real city, he's balling. Maybe you played like, you know, D2 or like City College at a place that like was like worthy of D2, some D1 competition. And you're like, fuck it, I just, whatever. If he tells me to set a screen, I'm gonna set a screen. I just gotta give it up for the real niggas. Some girls are walking a room. And I've seen this happen before, and it's really interesting. Where some girls are walking the room, and it's like they got like barely a waist, tits, ass, legs, just pretty face, really keep themselves together. They're not dressed like a hoe, but like they're also wearing something that really complements their physique while still being tasteful. And it's funny, especially like to see when you're with your girl, because the women are like, she has a nice butt. Even like the girls that aren't bi, like they're just like, or bi curious, is like, she's pretty hot. She looks good. And it's very just kind of like matter of fact. Those girls I'm talking about, those are the ones that are like the, I don't blame you. I see why you did that. Especially for guys, because guys, it's like, here's my thing, and this is why I think you should cheat. Okay, well, I don't want to say that. I was at the gas station once with Ariel, and Ariel was like wearing, we had just left the gym, so she's wearing like a very, you know, she's wearing workout clothes, her booty's out, you know, and all this. Like she looked good. So this old black dude who's like in his 50s, 60s, sounds like fucking Michael Clark Duncan in the Green Mile, looks at us and says, "It's really important to appreciate your youth." Well, he almost sounded like Martin Luther King. He was like, "I know if I could have my youth back, I surely would love that." And he's like, Ariel cracks me up. Ariel says, he's saying, "Oh, young man, if I was your age, I would just love to grab and tap that booty." Ariel is such a little funny coon. Oh, I could never cheat on her. She's adorable. Anyways. But so I thought about that guy in that moment, and he probably like rides, especially like an older black dude like that in like the Bay Area. Like he wasn't able to be tapping like all, like he sees these young niggas with like white girls, you know, Mediterranean white girls, Latinas, Asians, Middle Eastern. And he was like, "Damn, nigga, I was just fucking black bitches. You niggas is fucking all types of bitches out here." Like he's probably thinking, "I wish I did more." And I mean, and that's like a thing that's a fear of mine, is I don't want to be fucking like, you know, like 50 some years old, 60 some years old, and I'm just like out like at a bar, and like I'm just like, oh, this pussy ain't for me no more. And like I come in, because like this is why it's good to get fat, is like when you like have been, when your body fluctuates, and if you kind of fluctuate from being in better shape to not better shape, is you like kind of see the kind of natural like animal kingdom response from women when you come in that motherfucker. Like you could be like at the bar, whatever, you sit down and just like, "Oh, what's up? Hi, how you doing? What's up?" Like whether it's the bartender, some girls around, like, "Oh, what's up?" And then you see a guy and it's like in shape, not even super good. He just looks physically better than you. And he comes in. And it's like, "Oh, hi." You kind of see that light up a little bit in their eyes, and you're like, "Oh shit, I'm not young booty anymore. I'm old booty now." Like, it's not even old booty. I'm fat, saggy booty or whatever. That's what the fuck being old is like. unless you like really keep your shit on, like on George Clooney, or you look like, you know, or you like a Vince Carter, where you're like you found the fountain of youth, right? And I like that's like what motivates me to like stay lifting weights and shit like that. But at a certain point, it's just like the general population of ass ain't for you, 'cause you're too old, you're too fat, or even if you're not too fat, nigga, you're just old. You feel old. You feel washed. Like you're not in the free agent class anymore. No teams are looking at you. So that's why, while you can do it, you should fucking do it. 'Cause like, you're gonna have all your life to jack off. You're gonna have all your life to fantasize and wonder. Like, I mean, as men, we spend our whole life fantasizing and wondering, you know? So that is my, and that's tied into the, okay, I get it. With that, like, kind of like, again, this goes back to like the animal, when you see like that kind of, that one woman that walks in, and even the girls are like, and they just got to give it up for the real niggas. I love that I'm calling like a good pickup basketball game player and a woman that other women acknowledge as attractive and just throw their hater card away and calling them real niggas. That's like really funny to me. I like to laugh. But that's one where I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I have friends that are younger than me, and when they've said to me like they've thought about cheating, or like I downloaded Tinder, but I don't know what I should do, I say, good. You have nothing to lose. You'd feel guilty, but guess what? You won't forgive yourself thinking about ass you could have had either. So just like choose what you want to live with. That's my outlook on sex and doing things. As long as they're legal and don't give you shame, fucking do it. And let me be clear when I say this. These are my reasons to cheat for men. But also, man, like the thing is, like, once you've been with like, I don't know, like 7, 8 girls, you know, and like as long as like they're kind of like, it's a little bit of diversity in like vibe, body type, how you meet them, it's like you know what's out there. I mean, 'cause like at a certain point, like a motherfucker that's like fucked like, you know, 60 women isn't gonna like be able to tell you to. It's like, it's pussy. Oh my goodness. But that guy that's fucked at 60 women, like he's not gonna be able to like really tell you anything you don't already know if you have been with like, you know, 12, 13 women or whatever. I think what's really important for men with cheating is, and this is how I understand it, is, and I feel like smart women get this, even like monogamous smart women that have been hurt get this, is when a guy hasn't done everything he kind of wants to do or has certain needs met, he can become weird at best, a little weird about things at best, to being kind of sick and a little creepy. Like, I knew this guy, and he was, I'm not gonna, like, I wouldn't say he was a friend. You could tell niggas getting ready to throw somebody on the bus when they're like, you know, maybe I didn't fuck with him like that. But anyways, what else? I met him through a dude I hooped with, and then he worked with the guy that I hooped with, and then like we just all kind of meet up for drinks, because like when you're at that age, you just kind of know people. Anyways, and this is, and the guy's girlfriend was a bitch. But like that doesn't mean she was any less wrong. She said, and I found this out later because I heard it from his mouth too, she was like, he's got like this thing where like he really just wants to fuck like a like a 21-year-old girl. And it's disgusting because he's like 27, he's 28. Like, he should not be obsessing over, like, just having a young girl like that. And I was like, I don't know why you're telling all this shit, but I... Then later I get around him and he says the same thing and it sounds kind of worse. Because, I mean, like, when I'm like, when I was 27, 28, like, I'd fuck a 21-year-old, you know, of course. But, I wasn't walking around thinking, like, I really want to fuck a 21-year-old. I was walking around thinking, like, I want to fuck a girl with a fat ass. Like, that's just what my, like, I don't care if she's born in, like, fucking, you know, 94, 95, 96, if she's born in, like, 78. Like, I just want to have some fucking fun with a girl with a fat ass and a slim waist. Like, that's where my mind was at. But my point being was, this guy did not have... Obviously, he wasn't fucking them girls when he was their age. And then he was at the age where he could fuck them. And he wasn't. And I think about a guy like that, and I think, like, what is that guy like when he has a teenage daughter? Like, how is he around her friends? And I'm not saying, like, well, if you just would have let the nigga cheat or get some pussy, this never would have happened. I'm not, like, doing any apologist stuff. All I'm saying is when men are, like, really kind of fixated on something, then they don't get... That's why, like, men that, like, obviously fuck girls, like, it puts women at ease when they're around a guy that, like, clearly, like, fucks enough or has fucked in his day. They're a lot more like, oh, hey. Like, I mean, like, if, you know, they're fun and they're not, like, annoying feminazis and, you know, little Leah Dunhams, like, little pains, little Jezebel white bitches or whatever. Or, like, these just, like, I'm feminine. And like these girls speak Twitter. But it's, like, just, like, a regular girl. Just regular girl, right? Regular woman. She's, like... I mean, it's also a reason why when a guy is getting pussy, he is more attractive to women. It's like the age-old thing, like, I didn't have any girls on me until I got a girlfriend. Right? That's some true shit. Because women sense that energy. Like, women want to be with a guy that's, like, getting some. Women want to be with a guy that... had it's like the whole thing of, like, nobody wants to be at a party that nobody wants to be at. It's as cliche as a saying that is. That's some real shit. So those are my two things with cheating. I think if you're a guy, you should do it while you can. I'm not saying you're gonna turn into, like, a weirdo or a creep, or where you interact with women kind of like what you think is awkward and what they think is, like, creepy or gross or uncomfortable. Even if you're not doing anything, even if you don't say anything, it just be a handshake or how you look at them or whatever. I think it's, and by the way, that dude that I'm talking about, I never got, it was just like what he would say when he was comfortable, like that, where we just was like, damn, nigga, like, I think that's one you should say to your therapist, like, or get a fucking therapist. But, you know, he didn't do anything that was, like, out of bounds. Having said all that, I think guys need to have that itch scratch. And if shit comes around when they're in a relationship, that's, like, a... That's also a I get it thing. And, I mean, and that's, like, the thing with cheating when you're a man is... And why it's different from men with women. I don't want to beat, like, cliches into the ground or, like, say a bunch of shit that we could just go to, like, a Black Phillip episode and hear Patrice say. I don't want to do that. But what I will say is, it's like, you see that movie Funny People? There was a line, like, it's not a great movie, but it was a line where Adam Sandler was with Seth Rogen, and he was like, oh, my God. Seth Rogen's like, how could you cheat on her? And Adam's like, well, let me tell you something, shithead. Because Adam's just, like, shitting on the whole movie. Let me tell you something, dick, dipshit. It's easy to not fuck on other women when nobody wants to fuck you! Whatever white coonery Adam Sandler was doing. But that's the thing. And that, again, is that kind of why cheating is also a thing of convenience when you're a man. Because you do kind of have that Well, I don't know if this is going to happen again. And I don't blame a man for that. I don't blame a man for, I don't know when this is going to happen again. I don't blame a man for, I've never had this before. And I obviously do not blame a man for that. Well, I don't blame you. I would too. Here's when I blame a man for cheating. And when I say blame, I don't mean that in like a blogger way or tabloid way. I mean like I look at the like if it's the homie, I'm like, bro, you shouldn't have did that. It's when you're about to mess up your own life in a good situation, and like the information of doing it makes your life worse financially, living situation, things you have to explain to family, guilt, shame, or it makes somebody you care about life worse. The woman you cheated on, your kids, her family, your family, the way they're looking at you, like, oh man, that was a good girl. You shouldn't have did that. That's other than that, I'm not gonna blame you. But that's when I look at it like, man, what a, come on, man. Come on, man. That's how I look at it, man. Here's the thing, right? Because, like, in my situation, that's, and again, it's not about if I was right or wrong, but at the end of the day, what was I doing? I was a quote unquote broke black comedian that was fucking women on the road and at home, but she lived far away, so whatever. That was fucking women, right? And I was with a girl that didn't really respect me and didn't really like me. And she didn't really know. I'm not gonna get into her bullshit, but that's what I was doing. So ultimately, what did I really have to lose? Kind of hurting a woman that didn't even really respect me? I'll take that chance. I'll take that risk. Now, it's like, well, wow, why were you with a woman that didn't respect you? Because she was hot and I was 22, nigga. Like, that's fucking it. Don't ask me no stupid shit on this podcast. Anyways, so I look at it like that, but it's like when you like willing to hurt people that you care about, that's when I fucking blame you. That's when I'm like, okay, come on, man, it's time to come home. But outside of that, like if you can like bang some like fucking, some like bad Instagram bitch or something like that, and it's not gonna ruin your life, and you can keep it to a one-time thing or not make a habit out of it or not fall in love, and you're like a young guy or whatever, then like do your thing. All I would say is don't lose no money, don't inconvenience yourself, and don't feel guilty. When you start like really feeling guilty, you gotta stop. You can't do that. You live in too many lives. Oh yeah, that's another thing with cheating. You cannot live. I made that mistake. And not that like I because yeah, I never got caught. But like bad shit happened along the way. Like I got a little too fond of dark liquor. I got like just drinking just became too much casual because you're out and you just kind of you're passively looking for it. So make sure your house is in order. In the second you kind of see some shit slipping up, this kind of feels bad because I also feel like I'm kind of giving like a how-to manual on how to fucking cheat, which I don't want to do. But this is just if you're gonna do it, have your head on straight and be on your A game. Because if you're not on your A game, because that's another thing, it's like really easy to like go look for some outside pussy when shit isn't great at home, or like it falls in your lap and not everything's going great, and you have some like. You have like some monsters ball sex. I've had that. That's some good kind too, man. I've had that. Man, I'm so stressed out too. Man, I'm stressed out too. Man, I'm dealing with it. And not like in a like you pretend to be sad to get some pussy because that shit is trash. Even though we've all pretended to be sad to get some pussy, or like we're sad, but like damn, I'm not as sad as you, bitch. Like we pretend to be so we can fuck. Like I'm not talking about that, but. All right, that's enough of that. Let's bring on Joe. thank you for listening. Apologies to Joe Prano. We didn't have enough time. I'm fucking acting like I'm Jimmy Kimmel and he's Matt Damon. We got part two dropping on Monday with Joe Prano. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Stream Couples Therapy. Wear a mask. Be good to yourselves and enjoy your weekend.